Sprint planning, probably the most underutilized tool in our belts. If I am wrong, please send me an email, scott@planetproductowner.org. I'm happy to have that debate with you. Now, this sprint planning thing, this ceremony or event, whatever you want to call it, feedback loop, if you want to call it that, it kind of starts with the product backlog. And sometimes there's a lot of confusion around what the product backlog actually is. So let's get started with that, since it is a primary input to sprint planning. The product backlog is often confused with just a collection of stories and tasks. And a lot of times what I see product owners or even product managers doing is becoming really entrenched in defining the how. And we got to remember that's not our job, right? So sometimes you might even sequence work for the team. I've seen product owners do that before. And in some cases, you know, I understand it might be something that they need to get them started or whatever. And offering ideas and suggestions on that, certainly not a big deal, especially if you're not having any collaboration at all. But what happens when you miss something and it doesn't appear in your sequence of events, but it's needed? Well, you're just introducing rework and waste. And of course, what happens in the case of you defining so much and spoon feeding the team like little baby birds in the nest and you're dropping the worms in their mouth, right? It might come back on you to support that. So what we need to do is move away from the idea of a collection of stories and tasks in our product backlog. Instead, let's shift our mindset, because shifting mindset is what we do here on the Planet Product Owner Podcast, guys. Welcome to the journey, my friends. Let's shift our mindset from producing outputs to producing outcomes. It's very subtle, but it's a difference, definitely a difference. When I think of an outcome, what I'm thinking is I've provided something to the user. And of course, it's usable, it's valuable, it's complete. But more than that, maybe it satisfies a need or a desire. It solves a problem or takes advantage of an opportunity. We're able to observe some adopted or changed behavior from the user standpoint, right? Which in most cases, I hope, is the customer. And so when we think in terms of these outcomes that we seek, then we can start putting together and kind of stacking various outcomes together, so to speak, and sequencing those, And that becomes our new product backlog, rather than just a collection of stories and tasks. So this is the primary input for sprint planning. So again, about this ceremony and about this event, that's what we're going to be talking about today in this episode. If you're looking for a better format, or a format for that matter, or just some thoughts and ideas around sprint planning that might help you improve, you've probably come to the right place. So thank you for journeying again with us today. So sit back, buckle up, and let's get to Planet Product Owner. So let's walk through a couple of the inputs here. What it is that we're looking to do. What do we need to get going in this sprint planning, okay? So a couple of things right out of the gate. We've already talked about the product backlog. Now, let's have a quick reading from the Scrum Guide. The product backlog is an emergent ordered list of what is needed to improve the product. It is the single source of work undertaken by the Scrum team. So this product backlog concept and what we're talking about here are ideas and ordered list, right, of what is needed to improve the product. All right. So the second input that we need, which is one that we hope that we already have, right, is sponsors and stakeholders, right? Anybody else who is needed by the dev team as well. These are things that we need. We need that as product owners to make sure that we're on the right track. And I know if you've been on the journey with me for a while, you're already getting that stuff from Share Care Time, right? And if you're new to this podcast, just make sure that you go back and reference some of those Share Care Time things. And maybe I'll circle back to that in another episode. But one thing that's often overlooked is the need for the dev team to have others join them when they need them for sprint planning. Now, we can't have all the inputs without these three things, okay? The product backlog, the sponsor stakeholders, and maybe even customers, right? And anybody else that the dev team needs. So let's talk about the biggest output. Now, the biggest output of sprint planning is this, the sprint backlog. Now, just like the product backlog, we get a lot of confusion around what a sprint backlog is. Let me help you here. A reading from the Scrum Guide. Well, an abridged reading from the Scrum Guide. How about that? There are three things, and whether you're following the Scrum Guide or not, I don't care. But these are three things that are definitely needed in order to walk away with a clean, clear outcome from sprint planning. Ready? The sprint goal, the selected product backlog items, and the plan for the execution. So what are the candidate? What is it that we're going to commit to? How can we craft a way to say this is the goal that we're trying to achieve at the end of this thing? And then the plan for the execution. That means the stories, the tasks, the use cases, the items, whatever it is that the work needs to be done by the team. Okay. And of course, we're going to yield some capacity cutoff out of this thing too, right? So let's talk about the purpose of sprint planning. There are three topics addressed in sprint planning. Of course, those are why is the sprint valuable, what can get done in the sprint, and how will the selected work be done? So let's talk a little bit about the format of the sprint planning meeting or event or ceremony or feedback loop or time or work session, whatever you want to call it. This is how I do it. I'm not saying it's the right way, not saying it's the only way, but let me help you with something real quick. I usually start by opening with just basically resetting and grounding ourselves in the expectations for the progress of the product. Now, I know I'm not trying to get crazy or anything with this. I'm not focused on the bits and the bytes of the work. I'm not focused on a large demo or anything like that. I treat it kind of like share care time. I tell them what we did. I tell them what's next. And I ask them what has changed. And you may be scratching your head on that. It's like, wait a minute, Scott, I'm the product owner or I'm the product manager. I know what's up, right? And you may very well, and that's cool. But if you start by kind of sharing this story, and I'm going to wrap the story up here quick, I promise. But if you start by opening the story with telling them what we did, tell them what's next, and then asking them what's changed, here's some benefits to that. First of all, it's going to show that you're open to conversation or collaboration, and you're open to being challenged. Remember, in a lot of cases, we just did the sprint review or sprint demo on Friday, for example, right? And we're in sprint planning on Monday morning. Somebody may have thought about something over the weekend and didn't get a chance to get back with you. And they're like, hey, wait a minute. I was thinking about something that you did, that you showed on Friday, right? And so what that does is it opens up the opportunity for people to give some feedback in that room. All right. That's all it does. And it also gives those who are new on this journey with you through your product journey, it gives them the opportunity to kind of get caught up. All right. The second thing is, and you guys already know this, there are detractors who walk among us. They live with it, right? So it gives the detractors kind of this time and place to put up or shut up. They walk among us and they're distractions. Now, the promoters that you have in there are alliances. We know that. We want to build alliances through this thing, right? And if the detractors only end up squawking or, you know, talking badly or whatever outside of this sprint planning time, then the promoters begin to pick up on that and they'll start putting the noise out for you. Like they'll be able to stamp all that stuff out. So if you're having trouble with detractors, all right, those who are just kind of reporting something else outside of these times, they're reporting out and up something that's different or they're challenging you, right? Then this gives them the opportunity to speak up in that. Another benefit of opening it this way is that it provides some cross-training to the methods like your team operation, right? And whatever you do for development. So for those that are new to the program, again, or new to your product, those who are on the journey already, you're just sharing what it takes kind of to pull all this off and put it together. And you're standing firm on following your operations. But you're also leaving room for improvement along the way when you're doing this cross-training, right? Because somebody else may have an idea on how to move forward a little bit differently. And that's okay. We can take that. The fourth thing is that it shows that you're leading by example. Setting and managing expectations is something that I've said we have such a huge opportunity to do with an agile mindset that we don't have in other traditional formats. Look, you're the product owner. You got the plan. You got the data. You got the vision. You're upfront casting it by doing this. You're sharing that story, right? And this update to everybody kind of creates a story, which I hope you're actually able to humanize in this story when you do this. So this is how I kick it off. And finally, you're reinforcing the value from the Agile Manifesto that we value responding to change over following a plan. I think it's really important for us to make sure that we're honoring that, right? So we may find some things that we can skip ahead to. We may find some things that we have to rework, and it might actually jack up your plan based on what the stakeholders and the sponsors have to provide as feedback, right? This is where the negotiation and the concessions may have to take place, but I would rather see you guys share your story first and bring everybody up to speed on this journey, okay? Now, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to describe the backlog items that I have selected as a candidate. Okay. Or candidates. All right. These items are for the team to understand the next goal in the product. What is the next product goal? And you make the decision on priority. Don't misunderstand that. But they make the decision on what they can do. That's the team, right? And so what we want to do is be able to narrow down the choice or choices, right? So we can make a selection. So this is all around your input from the product backlog. Remember that non-prescriptive definition, what makes the product better, right? And we should be intentional, right, about the whole ceremony, but we should also be intentional about the candidates that we've chosen to select for this sprint. So one of the issues that we run into is the qualifying of this sprint goal. It becomes a challenge. If they can't craft a sprint goal, then maybe it's because the vision is not cast or it's not so clear, right? So if your team is having a hard time with crafting a sprint goal, like for example, have a look at what you're asking them. For example, if you're that going back to that collection of stories and tasks, if that's what you're asking them to produce, then it might be hard for them to craft a sprint goal. And that is part of the output we want. Let me give you an example of that. Tell a story real quick. So many years ago, I was working to deliver a large enterprise package for managing, tracking, and routing parts across this large facility, right? And I'm not going to go into details about the locations or anything like that, but the focus of each of our iterations was to improve the product to meet the vision that we had for the product, right? So we sat in the room together and I shared what we had done. And I actually demonstrated quickly to the users that they could now see their cost center or their building, right, in the system. And we already had access to a combined parts list, right? So now it was time to actually give the leads in those call centers the ability to manage the settings of their business unit or of their call center, right? And so there were a few things going on with that. They had to manage their building. They had to manage their people. They had to manage the processes that took place in that call center. All of these things. Because we had the ultimate goal of enabling the leads in each of these call center to create routes for those parts to follow. And of course they had to be tied to the building, right? Or the call center location. Now, if I were to just put a list of tasks out here, like for example, create a store procedure to add processes. Well, I probably missed a bunch of things that I didn't know about because the goal here, the next step to improve this product was to allow them to manage this. But there were a lot of different ways we could have split managing this unit or this call center. So it was important that I shared the vision with the folks so they understood the direction. And it was important to help them understand that we already had these things in place. Now the next step in the journey was to be able to manage X, Y, and Z. We might not be able to get done all of X, Y, and Z, but if we're advancing towards the product goal, right, for the overall product vision, then we're in good shape. So they understood the direction, right? So when we think in terms of the outcomes, and the outcome in this case is, you know, that the team leads or the building managers need to be able to list their routes so that we can tie the rest of the parts to the routes and share the settings and blah, 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 right? So we're in a better position to align with the product goal and the product vision, not just work on the work that needs to be done, right? So they're in the realm of the work that needs to be done and to accomplish what it is I hope will lead you to the impact, ultimate impact that you desire, which is saving the money so that we increase visibility so we can save the money, right? But yeah, impact is the final stage of the journey in product management. More on that later, maybe. So the takeaway from the team is, yeah, you might have a series of outputs in their delivery, but it was intentionally designed to meet the outcome we're seeking. So remember, the outcome is about the behaviors that we're going to observe. Something's going to be added, removed, changed, whatever, new to the user. And if we keep a focus on that and not worry so much on the to-do list of outputs, right, then we're going to probably have a more successful product journey. And it helps us steer away from a very problematic habit that I have seen a lot of teams work in, what I call that story-by-story development approach. Now, we got a vision. We got a story to tell. We've humanized it. We've got some product goals based on some behaviors that we want to see. Now we've got a plan. We got some concrete goals around what we want to see and what it is that we can choose to develop, okay? Now, the next batter up to the plate is what can get done to this sprint, or in this sprint, rather. To determine that, the next step is obvious. Give the team the space to decide. Y'all remember a few episodes back when I mentioned the word pause? Pause painfully, right? What's it going to take to get this done? You know, what can get done in this sprint? Pause. Let them think about it, man. You got to give them the space. So once you've given them enough space to really hash out what they think they can get done, and I'm going to tell you about that here in a minute on what they think they can get done. Once we give them that space, then we're going to make sure that we're in alignment on that candidate selection, right? All you have to do really, product owner, at this point is be available for them. You've almost turned this work session over to them at this point. What can you get done in the sprint? You know, that's it. Let them create and craft the sprint backlog. Now, remember, we're going to get to that in the how will the chosen work get done. That's kind of the last step. That's the final piece of this puzzle. So for each selected product backlog items, the developers plan the work necessary to create an increment that meets the definition of done. Now, this is from the Scrum Guide, all right? So we don't have to reinforce and we don't have to overstate anymore the fact that the team decides on the how, okay? We got that part. I hope we can take our hands off of it now, right? But the challenge is knowing for sure what they can get done in this sprint, okay? So how can we help them with that? Well, because the how, how the work will get chosen, like, what all can we do in this sprint? This is all kind of interrelated. Let's read from the Scrum Guide. However, the more developers know about their past performance, their upcoming capacity, and their definition of done, the more confident they will be in their sprint forecast. Now, this kind of takes me to an aside for a minute. Let's talk about this one for just a second. talk about with the team why it's important, right, for them to own the capacity conversations. They have to do that. They have to be the one to do that. Why is it that always the product owner and the scrum master, or even worse, the project management office or whatever, why are they always the ones on the hook for determining capacity for the team? They're closest to the work, right? I mean, you got some team members that won't even write stories or items or put tasks in their bucket to work, right? So, I mean, we got to have more ownership in that. And I'm going to help you understand one strategy that we can use towards the end of this episode, right? But, when we're asking other people to determine capacity and to define that, we don't have a clue, but the dev team does. It kind of reminds me of that movie where Chris Farley's in there and he says, I can get a good look at a T-bone steak by sticking my head up a bull's rear end, but I'd rather take the butcher's word for it. Y'all remember that? So the one way we can at least try to help them with this is to ensure that we're not trying to shove 10 pounds of sugar into a 5-pound bag. We got to be real careful of that. That's why I want you to give them space. Let's make sure that they got focus, that we're giving them enough time in this session to digest and elaborate their own plan. That's the biggest trap we find ourselves in. The other trap, I guess, is that developers are usually, maybe sometimes, not usually, but maybe sometimes even multitasking during sprint planning. And they're doing that because they're overwhelmed. It's not because they don't want to participate. They're doing that because they're overwhelmed. They're still trying to get the 10 pounds into the 5-pound bag. So we've got to be real careful of that and give them space because we want quality, right? So they may add work to their sprint later, and that is okay. It's theirs to add to. The sprint backlog belongs to the team. They're in the business, remember, of exploring, defining, and solving the unknown. And we have to acknowledge that, right? And when we do acknowledge that, then we take the pressure off of them to make sure that we have quality. And speaking of quality, if they're not having conversations about test data conditioning or what users we need to have or what status they're in and what those actual testing outcomes are, then we need to maybe prompt them in that direction, right? So when you think about these product backlog items, remember, the definition of done is something that typically gets the most hang up around what we can get done, because we don't know what we can get done if we don't know when done is or what done is. All right. So let's be sure to include the conditions that must be met for you to accept that work. There's two perspectives on that. One is you want to make sure it's implemented properly for the sake of the usage of the user, right? And the second one is you're describing the behaviors that would need to be changed in the system. Okay. And of course, in some cases, they're business rules. You know, we gotta apply some business rules in some cases. I get that too. Now, I'm not going to go into, again, how it's done, but I will say this, and the ownership of that on the team, but I will say this. We've already talked a little bit about our mindset shift where we want to move more towards outcomes, right? One of the things that happens in this, though, and what we find out is just like a product owner might not have access to like customer data, customer information, feedback sources, things like that. The teams might not have access to things that they need. You know, you might not have access to this file or to this log or to this system. Team, get it. If you can't get it, at the very least, get somebody to join your team for this sprint who can deliver what it is that you need. You know, when we talk about autonomy and we talk about cross-functional teams and things like that, yeah, we want to have stable teams, but it never hurts to add somebody into the fold to improve our alignment and to improve our agility, right? We want to improve that. And we can do that by adding people to our team if we need them. But here's the thing. Going back to the dev team, if you don't have the right people in the room, let's make sure we get them in the room, okay? And work with your Scrum Master to facilitate the removal of the impediment, all right? Okay, here we go. Now, next you're down to teams be given some space to create the plan, and they're filling all of this stuff up, and now everybody wants to jump to estimation, all right? I mean, raise your hand if everybody jumps to estimation after that. This is a topic that just kills me sometimes. If you're a new team, I kind of get the value in estimation. If you're a seasoned team, I just want you to keep in mind that estimation is a tool that can be used to determine capacity. It could be used that way. I'm definitely more interested in hearing from the team that they can commit to what they have planned. And I just want to trust their judgment on that. So I'll refer you to the episode called Do Points Really Matter for more information on that. You can find it in the Planet Product Owner podcast list here. All right. So once they got the plan, all right, they got the plan. There's three questions as a product owner that I want to ask. All right. I want to ask them about their confidence level. I like the whole idea of the fist of five thing that we learned from SAFe. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. In fact, I usually scale people. Tell me on a scale from 1 to 5. 1, you know, I'm like a calf staring at a new gate. 5, I'm the owner, master of the domain. Where are you? So the fist of 5, ask the team about their confidence level. You get 4s and 5s, you're in pretty good shape. If you get 2s and 3s, 1s, I want to know why. Why? What? Where are your doubts? What do you doubt? The second question is that I like to put back on the team is, you ready for this one? Tell me like I'm 3 years old how this advances the product vision. I want them to own it. I want them to understand that they're not just out here with hands on keyboards doing just work, right? I want them to be a part of this solution. They are a part of this solution. And oftentimes we neglect to include them on that. So tell me like I'm 3 years old, how you feel that this is going to advance the product vision, advance the product. How is it going to improve the product? And you'd be surprised at the kinds of answers you would get out of this. And it gets them thinking, too, outside the box on what their plan is. All right, and finally, the third thing I'm going to ask, what did I miss? What did I miss, guys? What did we miss? What are we not thinking about? Some of those powerful questions that we could ask. What do we need more clarity on? What did we miss? What's gonna prevent us from being successful in this? Because you always want to know what's going to keep you from doing it, right? So those are the three questions. Confidence, how does this help us? What did I miss? All right. So that's kind of the format for me. And then we wrap all of that stuff up. We put it in the tool or whatever the system is that we use in our board and make it visual and all of that stuff. All right, so stick around for the last segment here. I'm going to land this plane and get off of this crazy planet. A few important things that I don't want you to miss out on, though, in the wrap-up here. So stick around. And now, my friends, the time has come to journey back home. Anyway, let's land this plane, get off the plane. All right. Sprint planning is often the single most ignored event in the Scrum, but to me, it is as important as the others. I don't rank one higher than the other because they're all important. They give us the time to do what we need to do and take place of all of these other meetings that we have. These work sessions or ceremonies are provided to us through the nature of the Scrum Guide. And while I don't necessarily prescribe to the times that they like to limit us to or to keep us to, what's more important to me is the autonomy and the thinking patterns there for the team. So when proper input is put into a proper process, then some output is gained. And as a product owner or manager, that output leads us to the outcome. We should be focusing on the outcomes. That's going to help our sprint planning tremendously if we start thinking in those terms. Let the team figure out how the outputs align with the outcomes you describe. And let's be careful to protect this team. For the team, remember, we're given this specific protected time so we can use it to set and manage expectations. Telling them the story, humanizing the story, it'll help cross-train others, and it'll also help give a forum there for people who aren't necessarily on board or you're trying to rope in and become an alliance for you. That's what you want. It's hard for us to continually improve if we're solely focused on working in our work. And if we're neglecting working on our work, then we're not going to improve, right? So if we're neglecting this, then we're robbing the users ultimately, or our customers, right, of the value created by our teams. So remember, the team owns the sprint backlog. Don't forget what the sprint backlog is. That's the sprint goal, the product backlog item selected, and the plan for delivering them. And that is wholly owned by the team. Okay. We can't miss those items out of this. Whether you're following the Scrum Guide or not, those three things are going to be really important for you. Try your best to reinforce the idea of these outcomes, right? Not outputs. And if you've got impediments like a lack of access to customer feedback loops or lack of access to a system or a log, get it. And as a dev team, if you're not given enough time to focus on this stuff, raise your hand, tell somebody. And finally, Scrum Master, you're the coach of the process and the operation of the team. I would challenge you, by the way, to get creative on rebranding this ceremony, re-promote this ceremony, right? So you can improve your product. You can promote your team. You can influence others to continually improve all of these big benefits that we get out of this thing, right? And remember, product owners, it's not just about visualization. A lot of it's about socialization. So you can use this time to socialize the journey for your product and make that better. So I'd love to hear from you, get your thoughts on some of the things, the value that you have found with your sprint planning time, maybe your formats or your examples. So send me a note, scott@planetproductowner.org. Remember to tell me where you are in the world, because I get emails from all over the world, okay? I love getting emails from there, but I also like to kind of find out information about where you are. So don't forget, the YouTube channel is out there. Be sure to subscribe, because I really want to, towards the end of this year, I really want to start going live, and I can't do that without a bunch of subscribers, okay? Thank you again for the support, being a part of this journey. Be sure to tell a friend, and until next time, have a safe and fun lean journey, my friends.